Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Friday, February 20th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here are tonight's top stories.
Tonight, new Snowden documents reveal cell phone back doors. Then, healthcare.gov sickly tax forms. And the feds list government skeptics as a top terror threat. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
The foreign bankers have given us unlimited power, and we're going to rule you. This is our country. Ah, you're here. We're going to feed on your ass.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani has been catching a lot of flack this week for some comments he made about the president. He said that he doesn't really believe that the president loves America. And, I mean, come on, let's get real. The president basically said, I love you, girl. I love you so much that I want to fundamentally change everything about you.
It's very important for us to align ourselves with the 99.9% of Muslims who are looking for the same thing we're looking for. Order, peace, prosperity. And so I don't quibble with labels.
What I'm saying is that in his rhetoric, I very rarely hear him say the things that I used to hear Ronald Reagan say, the things I used to hear Bill Clinton say about how much he loves America. I do hear him criticize America much more often than other American presidents. And when it's not in the context of an overwhelming number of statements about the exceptionalism of America, it sounds like he's more of a critic than he is a supporter.
That was the profile that I published in The New Yorker. Somebody frustrated and disappointed. And that's what's frustrating to me sometimes about Obama, is that the world seems to disappoint him.
At times, we too have failed to live up to our ideals. That America has plenty of problems within its own borders. This is true. In a summer marked by instability in the Middle East and Eastern Europe, I know the world also took notice of the small American city of Ferguson, Missouri, where a young man was killed and a community was divided. So yes, we have our own racial and ethnic tensions.
I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny's always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Help them build their economy so they can have job opportunities for these people. You're right. There is no easy solution in the long term to preventing and combating violent extremism. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business?
And of course, one of the ways that Obama is fundamentally changing America is via executive amnesty. Now, we're going to air the rest of that report. It'll be playing after the end of the news tonight, but it has some shocking revelations about just exactly who the president wants to bring into the country. And of course, these are going to be people that are bringing the threat of terror, not just to our borders, but actually within the nation as well. Now, despite the fact that a majority of Americans consider ISIS to be the number one threat to America, the DHS is still fretting about anti-government groups.
We became aware that these two individuals were extremists in their beliefs and were actively plotting to kidnap and kill at least one Southern Nevada police officer.
Important to mention here, the FBI lists members of this anti-government movement among the nation's top domestic terror threats. Police say the two found a vacant house. They rigged it with bolts drilled into wall supports, creating a makeshift jail where they plan to hold captive officers, try them in a court of their own laws, and then kill them.
So as you can see, they're basing this whole propaganda campaign on a couple of probably meth heads who equips their house with booby-trapped nails in the walls? I mean, These people aren't just paranoid about the government. They're probably concerned about anybody coming near them. But they're going to base their whole entire report that the biggest threat facing the country are these really obscene anti-government people. And these people, of course, are not tied to a huge terrorist network. But that does not matter. The Department of Homeland Security circulated their intelligence assessment earlier this month. It focuses on right-wing sovereign citizens and other domestic extremists. DHS completely dismissed the intelligence that was obtained by Judicial Watch that ISIS militants were stationed in Juarez, could be planning attacks inside the United States. ISIS militants are openly bragging about the fact that they have sleeper cells within the country waiting to conduct devastating attacks on U.S. soil. Of course, they've made threats to the military and family members of the military. The FBI's most recent national terror threat assessment completely omits Islamic terrorists, and instead they focus on sovereign citizens and the militia movement. So obviously this is a lot less about combating extremists and more so about demonizing those with an opposing ideological view. The true threats by ISIS are continually being sidelined. Now, despite this domestic threat being the biggest concern for the federal government, they don't even invite the chief member of the FBI to this latest extremist summit. The White House did not invite the most senior American official charged with preventing terrorist attacks, the FBI director James Comey, to the three-day conference that was held this week on countering violent extremism in the United States and abroad. The administration says it didn't want the event to be focused on law enforcement issues. This was according to senior American officials. Now, the New York Times points out how Mr. Comey's Russian counterpart is in attendance. And this was a department that allegedly withheld information that could have prevented the Boston bombings. So, I mean, he's there. He's got a seat there at this summit. And stopping terrorist attacks has been the FBI's highest priority since 9/11, overseeing joint terrorism task forces in every major American city. They bring together federal, state, and local authorities to investigate terrorism. But he wasn't, you know, important enough. He didn't really need to know what was going on here at this terror summit and how to avoid terror attacks within the United States. And obviously, with this latest report, they're thinking that domestic terrorism is the greatest threat. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense unless, you know, you're trying to leave the country open to vulnerability. Now, we also have some latest revelations from Snowden. These latest docs reveal quite a frightening reality for those of us who thought cell phone encryption would help protect us from the prying eyes of the NSA. This is new reporting by The Intercept. It reveals how spy agencies hacked the world's largest SIM card manufacturer. This is the NSA and their British counterpart, GCHQ. They worked together in order to hack into the computer systems of the world's largest manufacturer of cell phone SIM cards. This gives government spies access to highly guarded encryption codes and unparalleled abilities to monitor the global communications of those with phones using the cards. Now, the target of this government hacking operation was a company called Gemalto, whose clients include AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, Sprint, and about 450 other wireless network providers around the world. It produces 2 billion SIM cards a year. Now, The Intercept reports that with these stolen encryption keys, intelligence agencies can monitor mobile communications without seeking or receiving approval from telecom companies and foreign governments. Possessing the keys also sidesteps the need to get a warrant or a wiretap. It also leaves no trace on the wireless provider's network that the communications were intercepted. Bulk key theft additionally enables the intelligence agencies to unlock any previously encrypted communications that they have already intercepted but did not yet have the ability to decrypt. These two agencies mine the private communications of unwitting employees, and this was in multiple countries. So obviously, once again, we have our government engaged in some pretty unconstitutional behavior, some deceptive practices, if you will. But they're always kind of passing the buck when it comes to that. This is for our safety. And then when you have other companies like Venezuela daring to come out and say that they think that a lot of what's happening in their country is because of the United States government, they're quick to deny that and play innocent. Just today, Venezuela arrested the mayor of Caracas over what socialist President Nicolas Maduro alleged was a coup plot financed by the U.S. and directed from Washington. The arrest of Mayor Antonio Ledezma, who is a veteran opposition leader, comes nearly a year to the day after another opposition leader was detained amid fierce protests against Maduro that turned deadly. Now, the Venezuelan president said earlier this month, "It is the government of the United States that is behind the plans of destabilization and coups against Venezuela." And he said this live on a television announcement earlier this month. But he said that he has come here to denounce it. "We have dismantled a coup attempt against democracy, against the stability of our homeland. It was an attempt to use a group of officials from the Air Force to provoke a violent act and attack." Now, he didn't name which members of the military were allegedly involved, but he claimed that the U.S. government and right-wing opposition groups in Venezuela were behind this plan. Now, of course, immediately the State Department comes out resisting those charges, and they're dismissing the claim, saying, "As a matter of long-standing policy, the United States does not support political transitions by non-constitutional means. Political transitions must be democratic, constitutional, peaceful, and legal." Now, she goes on to say that Venezuela is just trying to blame others for their own failures. But come on, how many times has the U.S. government been involved backing violent coups? Here's one reason why Venezuela might be a little bit paranoid. I mean, aside from the fact that the U.S. tried to overthrow Hugo Chavez, but recent declassification of more than 20,000 secret documents revealed the role of the CIA and the White House in the Chilean coup in the 70s. Now, Peter Kornblow, who spearheaded this effort to declassify these documents, told Democracy Now! Last year that Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger launched a preemptive strike against Salvador Allende. They decided to stop him from being inaugurated as president of Chile. Nixon instructed the CIA to make the Chilean economy scream, to use as many men as possible. Now, initially, they wanted to keep Allende from being inaugurated as president at all. But when that failed, and after the assassination of the Chilean commander-in-chief that the U.S. was behind, Kissinger then went to Nixon and said, "Allende is now president. We're going to have to work with him. The State Department thinks that we can coexist. But I want you to make sure that you tell everybody in the U.S. government that we cannot. That we cannot let him succeed because he has legitimacy. He is democratically elected." So there we have it right there. Kissinger saying, "We have this democratically elected leader who has legitimacy because the people elected him, and we need to take him out. We cannot coexist." Kissinger goes on to say, "What's going to happen to the balance of power when other countries get this bright idea that they can have democratic elections, have presidents in power who aren't going to be puppets of the White House?" He said that balance, the shift in the balance of power, would change their interests fundamentally, obviously changing the interests of the U.S. But the State Department, you know, here they are reasserting us that the U.S. would never support political transitions by non-constitutional means and that they should all be nonviolent and democratic and constitutional. Just ask Libya and Syria and Iran and Iraq and the Ukraine and many, many other places. We can point out so many other coups, but the State Department is just going to continue pushing out their propaganda. Hey, they're from the government and they're here to help. But what else happens when the government exceeds its competence? Well, as if tax season wasn't frustrating enough, now the White House says it has sent out 800,000 bad tax forms. The Obama administration says it sent out about 800,000 healthcare.gov customers the wrong tax information. Officials are asking those consumers to delay filing their 2014 taxes. These errors mean that nearly 1 million people will have to wait longer to get their tax refunds this year. So you're either going to have to wait to calculate your taxes or have a do-over if you were a good little citizen and filed early. Now, after the initial debacle that was the sign up for healthcare.gov, you'd think they would have their ducks in a row. For this first tax season where the Obamacare fines are going to be enforced, but to avoid the political damage that its program creates, the Obama administration did announce today that that it would be extending once again the open enrollment period from March 15th through April 30th. So once again, just shifting deadlines, rewriting the law. This was a mandate, remember, this was the law, but again, pushing the deadlines back. Now, coming up, even just resembling a criminal now could ruin your education, could ruin your career. And then I am going to be speaking with liberty activist and Chinese immigrant Lily Tong Williams. She has a very dire warning about Common Core.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introductory offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com. Used since before the days of the Roman Empire to support the body's natural systems and enhance overall health. Introducing the new InfoWarsLife.com oil of oregano formulation, a highly advanced nutraceutical form of this key herb that has been traditionally used by civilizations for thousands of years to promote health. We have now procured the most high quality and potent forms of oregano oil on the market, sourced from top leading manufacturers to ensure a concentrated level of bioactive ingredients. Extracted directly from the wild herb and sealed in easy-to-use capsules, you will no longer need to endure the burning of liquid oregano on the tongue. Wild-crafted from the Mediterranean oregano species that experts agree is one of the most powerful and most challenging to acquire. This winter season, it's more important than ever to secure this true form of oil of oregano. Now available in our limited first run at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
And don't tell me that I'm a weirdo because I'm upset about this. I'm just sick of dishonorable trash.
Supreme Cobra Commander!
You're failures! You think I'd sell my family out like you, dirtbag?
Ja'Kari Jackson for InfoWars.com. Campus rape is a very serious allegation and should be treated as such. But what if you, an innocent person, are caught up in the net and are being punished for a crime that you did not commit? Innocent college student subject to restraining order for resembling alleged rapist. An innocent male student was reportedly banned from entering large areas of his liberal arts school in Oregon after a female classmate accused him of slightly resembling a rapist she encountered months prior in another state. He was ordered to stay away from a fellow student, cutting him off from his housing, his campus job, and educational opportunity, all because he reminded her of a man who had raped her months before and thousands of miles away, said Professor Janie Haley of the Harvard Law Review. Which is to say, after a thorough investigation, this man has been proven innocent, but is still being punished for a crime that he did not commit. And all due sympathies to the young lady, but now this young man is having his educational opportunities ruined because he slightly resembles a perpetrator. And going from an innocent man to people who are definitely guilty, but were able to continue their crimes because of political correctness. About 1,400 Rotterdam children sexually exploited over 16-year period. The uncompromising report on events in South Yorkshire town between 1997 and 2013 said in more than a third of these cases, the youngsters were already known to child protective agencies. The report said, by far the majority of the perpetrators were described as Asian by the victim. But the investigator said, counselors seemed to think it was a one-off problem they hoped would go away. And several staff described their nervousness about identifying the ethnic origins of the perpetrators for fear of being thought racist. Political correctness allowed these rapists to run wild in the Rotterdam streets. Now let me be very clear, I'm not saying all Asians are rapists or Muslims or anything like that. It was these particular men who just so happened to be Asian, but they didn't want to come down on these guys. They didn't want to go round them up because of their ethnic origin. And these are the type of political correctness things we see in our societies and allow guilty people to get away with their crimes. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
Before all of recorded history, civilizations around the world praised the health benefits of silver. At InfoWars Life, our mission is to bring you the highest quality, purest, cleanest, effective colloidal silver on the market today for the lowest price available. You don't have to be a doctor to know the fall and winter months are the most dangerous time of year in North America when it comes to you and your family's health. InfoWarsLife.com is very excited to announce our biggest run yet of Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, InfoWarsLife.com has taken colloidal silver to the next level using a cutting-edge technique that is free of toxic artificial additives. Now more than ever, it's important to stock up on high-quality Silver Bullet from InfoWarsLife.com and to help others during Christmas by teaching them about the powerful benefits of silver. Secure your Silver Bullet today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
My guest today is liberty activist Lily Tong Williams. Lily was a candidate for the Colorado Libertarian Party in 2014. She's testified against gun control laws, and you can read her article, Guns Against Tyranny. It's published at National Review Online. But Lily is also a very outspoken opponent against Common Core, and I wanted to invite her on the show today because I think her story has a little bit more perspective rather than just parents who are worried about the state taking away their parental rights. She actually grew up in communist China. Lily immigrated here from China in 1988. And she says, as a Chinese immigrant, I know what it means to be free. Now, she has detailed this experience in a very powerful video. It's uploaded to YouTube. It's titled, Common Core is the Communist Core that I went through in China. And she wants all parents to just be aware of how Common Core has some striking similarities to the communist education that she experienced growing up in China under Mao's regime. So Lily, thank you so much for joining me today. And I just wanted to get right into it because I think that your story is so important to tell, because we definitely can see that there's a slow creep of tyranny happening here in America. For some, it's so slow that they don't even recognize it, if they even want to believe it's happening at all. But you've lived through it. And that's why I thought your story was just so important. So what was it about Common Core that raised the red flags for you?
Well, I got into more research on Common Core last year when I became the Libertarian candidate for our House District 44 in Colorado. The more research I dig into, the more scared I become. And just based on two principles. One is top-down, centralized government control, nationalized education, nationalized standards, and then that will lead to nationalized assessment and indoctrination, the curriculum. And that's number one. Number two really scares me is that the data tracking, collection of our children, and starting as early as a kindergarten, preschool, then we'll follow them to college and to the future employment. That's exactly what I went through in China. And that's why I started to come out to say, hey, this just remind me the China communist education I had under Mao. And I was really scared. I feel like it's my moral obligation to tell people the truth.
Right. And this is something that we actually are hearing. A lot of parents are concerned about these files that are being built on students, that it can obviously follow them throughout their school careers. But also employers might be able to look at these files. And that's exactly what you've experienced. Talk to me a little bit about these files. I know you mentioned that the schools force you to keep a diary where you're basically tattling on your family or friends and anyone that might have a dissident opinion. So talk to me a little bit about that. So if there's any parents out there that are getting some of these, we reported earlier this year about an assignment that students were given. They had to go home and check their medicine cabinet and then write in the assignment what was inside their parents' medicine cabinet. So this is obviously very indicative of these personal diaries that you talk about having to keep.
Well, I was born before Cultural Revolution. So, you know, then I went through entire 10 years, Mao's Cultural Revolution in schools. When I started my first grade, and we were chanting every day, required by teachers, like Long Live Chiang Mai Mao, Long Live Chinese Communist Party. I love my country. Then the teachers want us to write the so-called red diary, which is not private. It's the one that you're supposed to be politically correct and turn them over for teachers' review. In your diary, they want you not to just to talk about your incorrect behaviors, but they do want you to tell them about other people you know, including your neighbors, friends, family members, any incorrect behavior, speeches, even thoughts. We had to do self-criticism about our thoughts on political stuff. We were so young, we didn't understand. So I quickly learned I better not turn in my private diary to teacher. I will turn in the correct one. And this diary, we're supposed to encourage you to tell a teacher what's going on in our lives, in our neighborhood. And then we had to quote Chairman Mao's quotations once a while to show us we are really on the target. And that's really sick because I see that happening in this country where people are encouraged to report on their families and their life and to be politically correct, to conform what the government wants you to do. And neighbors call police, report on each other. It's just really sick. I went through that. I can see clearly what they're doing in this country.
Right. And then with this household registration and then you have this personnel file, this is then passed along to whatever government corporations people are going to then be kind of funneled through, where you were just one of three people selected to be able to go and work in the law field, right? So if you had messed up, you would have just been sent back to live in poverty.
Yeah, my file followed me since first grade. In this file, my family information, my siblings, and my political beliefs, my family's political class. So they classify people in the red versus black classes, and they know exactly where you live, where your family's from, what do they do, their political beliefs, their religious belief, and if they have any disciplinary actions and my grades, my behaviors, my psychological profile, my mental health. All that details is in my file. We have to take updated picture once a year. And that file followed me to middle school, high school, and college. By the only time I broke that tracking system is by coming to United States. Then they threatened me, you got to sign this piece of paper before you leave. You promise come back to your motherland. All your personal file will be sent back to your hometown in Chengdu, Sichuan province. That means I will lose my professor career in law school in Shanghai forever. I will start fresh when I go back. And also there's always dark shadow there to say I left the country, did not go back on time. It's really that kind of tracking system to keep you under control from birth to death. And that's communist system. I will hate to see that happening in this country.
Right. And it absolutely already is happening in this country. And we already have, they're lauding China for their restrictions on the internet. And again, they're just saying, wow, the Chinese are just doing a really good job there, I guess because they see how high the test scores are. But children are not standardized, but they are forcing them into this standardized form of testing. We actually have a story of an Ohio high school teacher. She won the 2014 Top Teacher Award, and then she resigned at that ceremony, basically saying that she couldn't stand how Common Core was leaving children with special needs behind. And that's exactly what would happen for a student in China. If you're having some issues, you're just going to get, if you can't pass these tests, you're done for.
Yes, this, we have a nationalized college entrance exam once a year. That's like really once a lifetime opportunity for you to go to college. And that's the only way you can be enrolled in 4-year government colleges. If you don't pass that, no matter how good student you are, you cannot go. So some students are under tremendous pressure. Sometimes they fail because it's once a time you take that test. And also that this system they have, it's like they just want you to conform. And you spend so much time every day, 10 to 14 hours a day for high school students to prepare for the test. You have no time left for extracurricular activities. You have no time for free mind thinking, for creativity, for innovation. That's why I mentioned in my YouTube video, we have zero Nobel Prize winners from China's education system. United States is ranked number one in the world in terms of Nobel Prize winnings in medicine and in science. That tells you something. So we are a group of huge test takers, machines, but we cannot think independently. We cannot be re-innovative. And that, to me, it tells you something. We should not try to learn and to be like China, because they want their massive students to be like a robot. They are score high in tests. But so what? They have a low life. They have no individual critical thinkings. And when this is America, we want our students to be Americans and who can challenge authorities, who fight for our freedom and not to be controlled by government.
Absolutely. And that is what is so frightening, is that we do see that they are basically training children to be just smart enough to keep pushing all the buttons, to stay right in their little robotic job, to not be able to self-actualize, that we don't need any more inventions or any more innovators, any more ingenuity. And they're de-emphasizing this freedom and the message of the founding fathers, and de-emphasizing why they actually fought back against an authoritarian government. They don't want people to embrace that model. And something else that you mentioned, the first step of communism was to take away the parental control of your children and indoctrinate them, because if they can control education and your children, they control the country's future. And that is absolutely frightening, because we do see that happening here. They're taking the parental rights away. You can't even decide what your child can take in at school lunch. They're forced to eat this prison food that they're currently being served in public schools. I mean, just down to that, we see parents can't even walk into a school to pick their child up. They have to wait down in the back of the line, back where the cars are. There was a man that was arrested just trying to go pick his kid up from school. So we're already seeing that. They're telling you children belong to the state. That's quite frightening. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I was growing up, our grandparents and parents did not have any parental rights at all. It is clear that the communism declares children belong to the state. They are the state properties. Our parents have no idea. I mean, they have no input, including our teachers have no input. What are you going to learn? How many hours in school and how many days in school? And what kind of a curriculum you will have? We have a nationalized curriculum. Political study is one of the mandated subjects. And in that political study class, you're supposed to learn communist government's version of history. Like today's students I talked to, graduate from college, they don't have idea about what Mao did during Cultural Revolution. They have no idea about the 1989 massacre in Tiananmen Square just 26 years ago, 25 years ago. Because if their parents are not teaching them at home, they are indoctrinated, brainwashed in school. They cannot even know the details about it. It's like a mystery to them. They just pretend nothing happened. That's what I'm afraid in this country. You already see happening in this country, the College Board new framework for AP US history. They do not want you to know about founding fathers and about MLK, about capitalism. So 20 years from now, our kids will be active, productive citizens in this country. And they will not be true Americans anymore, because they have no idea about their past. And they're going to repeat whatever the indoctrination wants them to say and to think. It's a very dangerous trend. That's why I'm so scared. That's why I am fighting this. This education issue is very dear to my heart. I think if you let your federal government, private corporation in bed together, control our education, take away our parental bill of rights, then we will not be the same country 20 years from now on.
Right. America is, you know, that you mentioned that the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence were the two documents that made you come to America versus going to France or Spain or some other country. Those two documents are what they're trying to de-emphasize and take away the power of the people. And of course, America as the land of the free, this shining beacon in the darkness, if we fall into tyranny, then the whole world will go. So, I mean, this is a very important thing for people to listen to your story. You lived through it. You can see the writing on the wall. And, I mean, do we think, is there enough time to turn this back around? Are the children already so indoctrinated? We had a Mark Dice video where they didn't even know who MLK was. They did not even know who Martin Luther King Jr. was. They thought he had just passed away, you know, that week when we were celebrating his birthday. So, I mean, are we too far?
Well, I am still trying to be optimistic because I believe that this is a country of the free and home of the brave. But I'm calling on all brave Americans to get involved, to take action. If you majority of American people is silent when government's doing this kind of garbage to our country, to our children, then you're going to lose all the rights and freedom you have. So I'm still fighting. I want the people to join the fight and speak out and spread my messages. And by somebody who lived through this tyranny, this communist core education, if we all united, do not give up and keep fighting, yelling, screaming, and shouting, we will hold our elected politicians accountable. We just cannot be silent. We cannot just say, oh, there's nothing as an individual I can do. I truly believe in individualism. One individual can make big difference. If we have millions of them united to make difference, the impact will be huge. So we just have to send a very clear, loud message to those people in Washington, in your state board of education, in your state house and senate, and ask them to listen to you, to keep our freedom, to fight for parental bill of rights, and to keep our children belong to their parents, not to the state. But that will be going down the communist path. So please ask people to listen to this and go to my Facebook page, follow my post, and let's fight this together. Time is running out. We got to take action every day.
Absolutely. Very well said. And just briefly, now I know that something else that was really important to you, gun control laws. You are very outspoken against that. You have an article called Guns Against Tyranny published on National Review Online. Just briefly talk to me about that article and why, in your experience, is this important?
I just testified a couple of weeks ago to support a bill to repeal magazine ban in Colorado. They want to limit our magazines to be 15 rounds. And I asked them this question, how am I going to use it against tyranny? Do you limit your government soldiers' magazines? Do criminals limit theirs? No. You only want to limit ours. Then how am I going to go fight against tyranny like students, citizens in Beijing 1989? If the government had all the tanks, all the machine guns, and citizens had no guns at all. You know, gun rights is extremely dear to me. When I first come to this country, hold a gun in my hand, I feel first time in my life I'm no longer a slave. So I want to tell people gun rights, education are the two biggest issues we are facing today. Hold on to those rights and fight with your life, with your last breath. Do not give them up. And they are going to lose their children. They are going to lose, their Second Amendment right if they don't fight really hard to speak up. And I'm not exaggerating. It's like making things up or, you know, calling this communist call. To me, ET is true. You know, I went through that. I can see their strategies, their tactics are so familiar to me. It's like, don't bother me. I have listened to that before. I have seen that. Right. I don't buy that at all. They make sounds wonderful. Global ready, college ready. We are new world order. You know, we're going to improve our standards. It's a BS. It's not their purpose. Their purpose is to have a government control. It's for profit.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be made for the corporations.
Yeah, and you know, for Americans, we've just always been free, quote unquote free, so we don't even realize when our liberties are being taken away from us, just slowly but surely. But from someone who's come where you had absolutely zero freedom to a country that is free, you know, you're able to just recognize when those liberties are being slowly pulled and you know what tyranny looks like. So That's
their technique anyway. Their technique is to take away, like Hitler said, just take away their freedom a little by little every day. So they don't realize it until the point's crossed. It's too late. You know, you will be too late. I think this next couple years is very critical for us to fight. Get rid of Common Core and get rid of gun control attempts by some people and get people to involve, to be educated. There are lots of Americans who just not educated, they're not informed. And how important it is for you to keep your freedom. I think that's the most important thing in your life because that's for your children's, grandchildren's sake. It's not just for your lifetime anymore.
Right.
So you cannot just go to work, bring home the bacon, make the money. I understand to some people that's priority if they're just making the ends meet. But if you let the government take more and more your freedom, you cannot become successful. You cannot be prosperous. No matter how much you make, you're going to turn over to most of your earnings to Uncle Sam. What good does that do if you make more money?
Yeah, and you lived through food rationing, so you know what that's like, being taken care of by the government, providing for all of your needs when you live in a house that didn't even have heat or running water and, you know, food rationing. So I don't know why people think that they're just going to be living in luxury when the state takes care of them. They're calling
the
state
mom and daddy. Yeah, that's what central planning socialism do to you, that eventually people who are productive, they have no incentives to go invest to produce jobs. And just like a movie, Agnes Shrugged, you know, all those productive people will be disappearing. You know, that's what the China economy was when I was growing up. It was no productivity, was not efficient. So people were dirt poor. Everybody was poor except maybe very few percentage on the top. Mm-hmm. You know, now we had like a little bit food, meat and just rice and to survive.
Right.
You know, I really, that's why I can't let my kids waste food in this country. It's like, you know what I went through, you got to eat this leftover next day.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing that I find so surprising is that we have so many Americans that take their liberty for granted. And then we do have people that come here and are fighting for our freedoms because, they're fighting for the freedoms that they came here to enjoy as well. It's just, I mean, it's pretty crazy to me that you have a lot of, you know, kids growing up now that don't even know the story of the Founding Fathers or can't even say any bits of the Declaration of Independence. But, you know, we're happy to have you on our side.
I'm glad too. I want all liberty loving people in this country really to be united. I want to point out another communist tactic is to divide the people, divide their citizens by classify them, by politically categorize them, you know, white versus black and brown. And I don't buy that because I want all people who love freedom to realize that's typical government strategy. They want you to be divided. They want the laborers to report on each other. They even want the family to report on each other. Guess what? They benefit. That means they got you totally controlled when you are not loyal to each other anymore. You become more loyal to the, you know, the government regime and you put, you know, call police every time you got an issue with your neighbor. It's wrong. It's dangerous. That's what we went through in China. So don't let the government divide us. We need to be united and we need to be more tolerant of each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Goodness, you're like giving me the goosebumps because that's what we are seeing here with the nanny state and people calling on their neighbors and tattling and forcing families to be broken up and divided. A mom had to go to jail because she dared let her child play at the playground while she was working, even though she could see her, you know, out the window. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that's happening now. It's just, it's just crazy to actually listen to what you're saying and, you know, for what we do here at InfoWars, it's just the writing
that's
is on the wall.
That's why I posted something on Valentine's Day that we could not even tell our families about love. We're supposed to express love to the party, to the chairman mom. And they think that when you love each other as individuals, then they cannot regulate. That's very private. That's expression of individualism. And they want you to be totally loyal to them, to love them. That's why when you see communist countries, they always have pretty girls, pretty boys, young pictures, and to show their total loyalty to the party, to the political regime. That's a very, very sick society. I still have a hard time to tell my family today in China, I love you in Chinese. Because we were criticized that time if you do that. So they're not used to it. But I tell my kids in this country all the time, I love you in both Chinese and English. I have no problem. But I can't do that to my own family members in China. Is that sick? And that's why some immigrants are not standing up, speaking up like me, because they are still trapped in their indoctrinated mind, in their old mentality. Some are afraid. They cannot, you know, conquer that fear. Their government might still give them the retaliation. I keep telling myself, well, this is my duty. I cannot live in fear. I'm going to say whatever I believe is true.
Well, Lily, thank you so much for joining us today. Lily for Liberty, that's your Facebook page. Be sure to go there, like her page. She's updating constantly every day, a lot of calls to action. I know people are always looking for solutions. You know, how can we actually do anything about this tyranny? And you do provide a lot of those things there, just very simple steps that people can do one person at a time. Yes, an individual can make a difference. Lilyforliberty.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for the show tonight. Thank you for watching. If you are watching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and become a subscriber to the Alex Jones channel. You can also become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. For your subscription, you can share your username and password with up to 20 people at the same time, and you'll get instant access to over 18 years worth of content that you will not find on YouTube. So those are just a few of the perks. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you here again Monday at 7 p.m. Central.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
It's very important for us to align ourselves with the 99.9% of Muslims who are looking for the same thing we're looking for. Order, peace, prosperity. And so, you know, I don't quibble with labels.
What I'm saying is that in his rhetoric, I very rarely hear him say the things that I used to hear Ronald Reagan say, the things I used to hear Bill Clinton say about how much he loves America. I do hear him criticize America much more often than other American presidents. And when it's not in the context of an overwhelming number of statements about the exceptionalism of America, it sounds like he's more of a critic than he is a supporter.
That was the profile that I published in the New Yorker. Somebody frustrated and disappointed. And that's what's frustrating to me sometimes about Obama, is that the world seems to disappoint him.
At times we too have failed to live up to our ideals. That America has plenty of problems within its own borders. This is true. In a summer marked by instability in the Middle East and Eastern Europe, I know the world also took notice of the small American city of Ferguson, Missouri, where a young man was killed and a community was divided. So yes, we have our own racial and ethnic tensions.
I've got a pen. And I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices.
I think you all know that I've always felt the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Help them build their economy so they can have job opportunities for these people. You're right. There is no easy solution in the long term to preventing and combating violent extremism. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business?
Forget about that we use the word jihad. I still never use that. But he refuses to use the word Islamist, which is used throughout the Muslim world. It's used by journalists, by authors.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
On behalf of the Muslims of America, I present before you a documentary film in helping and training oppressed Muslims. I'm proud to say and to sit with the colleagues who have been successful in founding an international organization which is called Soldiers of Allah, S-O-A. And we are establishing training camps. You can reach us, you know, at the Brown and Hope University offices in upstate New York, or in Canada, or in Michigan, or in South Carolina, or in Pakistan, wherever we are, you can reach us. You are most welcome to join one of our, you know, advanced training course in Islamic
media. The Clarion Project, who I work for, we broke this story about how a terrorist enclave has been detected in Texas. We know this from declassified FBI documents. There was originally some broad intelligence about it, and so we started investigating. We figured out the group's front organizations that they were using in Texas, and then some activists from a group called Act for America went and verified the specific location so that we made sure that we definitely knew what we were talking about. And then we got declassified FBI documents and confirmed it from that end.
In 2001, ATF Special Agent Thomas P. Gallagher testified in court that individuals from the organization Muslims of the Americas are trained in Hancock, New York, and if they pass the training in Hancock, New York, are then sent to Pakistan for training in paramilitary and survivalist training by Mr. Jalani. On January 23, 2002, American journalist Daniel Pearl was kidnapped on his way to question Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani's connection to shoe bomber Richard Reed in downtown Karachi. 9 days later, Pearl was decapitated. On May 16th, his severed head and decomposed body were found cut into 10 pieces. Jalani was temporarily in Pakistani custody after the kidnapping. The main compound near the town of Hancock in upstate New York, known as Holy Islamberg, was founded in 1980 by Jalani as a religious sanctuary for devout Muslims. This land is located near the reservoir that supplies most of New York City's drinking water. In fact, most of the compounds are near strategic locations within the United States designed to affect a mass population event at any time.
According to the 2006 law enforcement report, Jalani opened his compounds near significant infrastructure targets. Islamville is less than 5 miles away from the Catawba nuclear facility.
The FBI's own documents define the Muslims of America as an autonomous organization which possesses an infrastructure capable of planning and mounting terrorist campaigns overseas and here within the U.S.
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
Continuing concern from counterterrorism officials that some militants could return home undetected.
If I were to say that we had it under control, then I would say I knew of every single individual traveling. I don't, and I don't know every person there, and I don't know everyone coming back. So it's not even close to being under control.
We had his fingerprints in a government system. How did he walk into America in 2009 and then, you know, at least 2 years later before he came up on our radar screen?
The two got here by filling out this Immigration Service refugee application form.
and simply checking no next to the boxes that asked if they had been involved in any form of terrorist activity. And prosecutors say Hamadi urged other attacks on U.S. soil. Quote, many things should take place, and it should be huge.
Another friend had 10 Chinese in his yard. There's Arabs coming. The Border Patrol said at one point 3 out of 10 that they apprehended was OTMs other than Mexicans. There's all kinds of people. This is a national security issue.
ISIS cells that were active in the Juarez area, which is northern part of Chihuahua State, and that they were moving around over there, that they had just that there was some activity. And for the sheriffs along the border to be on the alert, for all law enforcement to be on the alert, and to be on the lookout for these people maybe trying to come across.
The reason they picked Juarez could be a strategic move. This is just right across the border. Juarez is no more than a few miles to my left. Now we also have, you know, many other buildings in this area that we've talked about. We have the military base. FBI has an office.
Do you have any information or any evidence that they're actually coming in the southern border now?
Yes. Yes. I have information that I know that at least 10 ISIS fighters have been caught coming across the Mexican border in Texas.
There seems to be talking to each other. How much? I don't know. But they're using, the drug cartels use the same operational plan as terrorist groups do.
The rate of foreign fighter travel that we've seen in recent years is unprecedented. It exceeds the rate of travel and travelers who went to Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Yemen, or Somalia, other prominent conflict zones.
There are a variety of reasons why
people... But was radical Islam one of them?
There are a variety of reasons why people do these things. Some of them are potentially religious.
Okay, but all I'm asking is if you think among those variety of reasons, radical Islam might have been one of the reasons that the individuals took the steps that they did.
We see, say, radical Islam. I mean, I think those people who espouse a version of Islam that is not...
Are you uncomfortable attributing any of their actions to radical Islam? It sounds like
No, I don't want to say anything negative about a religion that is
No, I'm not talking about a religion. Talking about radical Islam. I'm not talking about the general religion. Mr. Agee, it's hard to get an answer, yes or no, but...
Are we having this conversation about words as opposed to what our actions ought to be?
In things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards.
But I did not expect that from Eric Holder, who calls himself a law enforcement officer. And instead of talking responsibly, instead of measuring his words, because that's what's needed at a time like that, you got to measure what you say, because tensions are high, and the wrong thing said can make a bad situation worse. And he sat up there and talked about how he has seen law enforcement officers profile. He's been the victim of racial profiling himself, and he named two situations. One in a traffic stop in New Jersey, and he said, I remember feeling the indignation as they searched my vehicle. And then he talked about a situation when he was in Georgetown, not too far from here, and how he and a friend were stopped on the way to the movie theater, and they felt that they were racially profiled. And he said, I was a federal prosecutor when those things happened. And I said, wait a minute. Mr. Attorney General, if you felt those officers had violated your Fourth Amendment rights and you're a federal prosecutor and you didn't say anything at the time, on behalf of everybody in the United States, you could have done something if you felt that. You could have made a complaint.
And all you ISIS people threatening us, hey, we're not a French newspaper, okay? We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
And look, the Middle East is coming apart with this administration's policy. Look at Libya. We should never have gone into Libya. Gaddafi was on our side. Look at Egypt. Morsi is now going after the Muslim Brotherhood and the radical Islamists, and we've got Muslim Brotherhood in the U.S. government today. And so look
Wait, who,
at what's
who,
going
who,
on
who
in
Who from
Syria.
The Muslim Brotherhood is in the U.S. government right now?
Who?
Yes.
I haven't got their names exactly, but there's a list of them, at least 10 or 15 of them.
Do you know any major Arab ally that embraces ISIL?
I know major Arab allies who fund them.
He spent about an hour meeting with 5 different rebel commanders who came from all over Syria to plead with him for heavier weapons, a no-fly zone, and airstrikes against the forces of President Bashar al-Assad.
And he's very social and becoming borderline communist.
He wants to redistribute wealth, take money that was honestly earned in tax by people who struggled and suffered and paid the price to win that money, or at least keep it. He wants to take it from them, given to people who don't have to do a thing. It's the will of the state to oversee everyone, and for the unions to control the employees, and for the CEOs just to sit and be quiet while we take all we can and then tax the rest.
I mean, it's all been declassified that McCarthy was right, that the Pentagon was running the Soviet Union, basically.
Traitors are not gentlemen, my good friends. They don't understand being treated like gentlemen.
May I say to you, my good friends, tonight, to the American people, that I don't care. I don't give a tinker's dang how high or how low, people in either the Republican or Democrat party, either party, are unhappy about our methods.
General, what do you think about the FBI saying that there was a terror alert on Monday about a potential Fort Hood situation?
The police are shoving people, shoving Alex, shoving the crowd.
Here we go, folks, I'm being assaulted.
Whether it's the radio show, the news websites, documentary films, or the nightly news, InfoWars is the tip of the spear.
Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security by sticking our hands down on pants on the streets?
It's up to us to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. And that's what PrisonPlanet.tv is designed to do.
You watch the Assad regime is going to be blamed or accused of using chemical weapons against the so-called rebels.
What we see now is a war against reality. It's a war against the truth.
It's more vital than ever that supporters of freedom become members of PrisonPlanet.tv and share their membership with up to 11 friends and family. Visit InfoWarsNews.com today. Become a member, share your membership, and help take the InfoWar to the next level.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.